Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Today, I don't have any guests today. You've just got me, but we're going to play. Though we're going to talk about the importance of play, and I'd really like you to take some time today, to really reflect on what learning through play means to you. And I'd really love for you to think back to when you were young, and what sorts of things did you do to play, whether it being play with brothers and sisters or your pets or other children in the neighborhood, or even just when you had alone time, what did you do to really play? And so I'm going to share some of my childhood memories today and then tie it into the reasons why play is so important. I'm a huge advocate for play. Personally, I feel like it is the number one way to learn. Adults can play. You don't have to have an age limit to be able to play. And when you lose that playfulness, seems to be when you lose that sense of purpose and that sense of fun in your life. And you know, what's the point? You've got to be able to have fun. So my first story I want to share with you is quite a few years ago. I have an amazing brother. I've got three brothers. This one is amazing. And he actually designed an environment or a challenge, I guess you could say, a memory, an adventure for all of the kids in the family, my daughter included. And what he did was we were playing on a beach, just a random beach. There's lots of beaches where I live here. And the children picked up a bottle. It was an old rum bottle, and inside it was a map, which of course my brother had created, but the kids didn't know that because the bottle had already had barnacles on it and it looked like it had been at sea for quite a while. So we managed to find the right type of bottle. And when the children who were swimming at the time pulled the map out and opened it up, that you should have seen their faces. And at the time, I think they were probably about 8 or 9 for a couple of them, and a little bit younger for others. And oh, just the excitement of the thought of finding a map and the creativity and the problem solving of where is this, and let's have a look at our local map and do we recognize the coastline and can we follow the instructions, and trying to decode it was a huge sense of play. And yet at the same time, the skill sets that the children were learning, that the little boys and girls were learning, was just off the chart. You couldn't buy it, really. It was just incredible. And it turns out, of course, that the map was for a different beach, which was one of our local beach, and it was the one that I grew up on playing all over the place. It's where we have a beach house. And around the corner, when the tide goes right out, you can walk around this bluff and you can get to a secret beach. When the tide's in, you can't get to it. You have to climb over the mountain with all the green ants and snakes to get to it. But when the tide goes right out, then you can actually walk all the way around. So they worked it out that this was the beach they were going to go to, and the whole family got involved. We had shovels, we had buckets, we had bags, water. We you know, got supplies. We got the supplies, let's just put it that way. And the entire family, we took cameras, and we were like, okay, we're going to go and dig up this treasure. Let's see what we can find. Now, unbeknownst to everybody else, my brother had actually bought a real looking treasure chest and had buried it. So he had ordered Heaps of jewelry. Of course, most of it was fake jewelry, but it looked certainly looked real. We had compasses and all sorts of things that looked like you would have if you were on a ship. And then he put about $200 worth of gold coins in there that were real, and costume pieces and all sorts of stuff that was in this chest that was buried on the beach, just over the main beach. So we were traipsing off with everybody, almost in a line, singing and laughing and playing, and the children were out front, the young ones were out front, our little offspring leading the way, leading the charge. It was just priceless. It was amazing. As it turns out, the tide came in. We took so long, the tide came in and we had to climb over part of the bluff. So that was interesting. To get to the other beach and then dig, which was fun. And of course, they finally found the treasure chest and shared the booty, and it was just, it was amazing. We talked about it for months and months, and the photos we got were incredible. But I did want to say that the critical thinking and the problem solving that was developed just through this task was amazing, and it was just playful. It was a challenge. Lots of brain connections were happening there, and of course, the creativity and the imagination was off the chart because there were so many things that were able to spawn from that one memory. Oh, just amazing memory. And of course, problem solving and critical thinking is something that does get developed very well in play. I mean, think about other games like puzzles, pick up sticks, Jenga towers, all of those little things where you do have to stop and strategically think. And they have to think of flexibility, they have to plan, they have to strategize, and they have to make decisions. So allowing opportunities in a playful, safe environment where they can make decisions is a really key skill for lifelong learning. And I think that's really amazing. Another reason why we should play, as I mentioned before, is because it does build brain connections. It does strengthen neural pathways in the brain, particularly in early childhood, and it helps children make sense of the world because they're exploring, they're experimenting, and problem solving. So arts and crafts and board games and card games are definitely ways that you can do that. And I just can't stress it enough, and I do feel like the move towards sitting and playing in front of a computer or just watching TV, it has really shifted a lot of the way children play today. Creativity and imagination are probably two of my favorite words. I love them. Really allows children to invent, try out new ideas. And when you think about little children, for example, you might have a child who's sitting there trying to make clothes for their doll, and they're actually trying to, cut it out and fit it on the doll, or they might take those dolls and sit out, in the garden and build little fairy gardens for them and sit amongst the flowers, and they can sit out there for hours in their imagination playing with the elementals, of course. And it's just an amazing experience, and this play is something that a lot of children are not getting a chance to experience these days. And okay, so I've just remembered another game that I used to play with all of the neighborhood kids. We used to play something called Blocko. Now, it's an original name, of course, because you were allowed to play around the block. So a block in Australia is a block of houses. You might have, I don't know, 8 or 9 houses in one block, on either side, so the houses back onto each other. So it's a big square, and then the road actually goes around it. So usually like a square or a rectangle, pretty much. And so we used to play blocko, where out of bounds, you were not allowed to go out of bounds if you went off the block. And we would jump over fences and run around the neighborhood and climb trees and chase each other because you had to make it back to home base without being seen. And so we had to work in teams. You had to have conflict resolution because there was always someone that had a different opinion. And we had to follow our intuition. And we really had to have awareness, really acute awareness of our surroundings surroundings and use all of our senses. So the collaboration and the risk taking, not to mention the exercise of the fact that you're out in fresh air, but trying to sneak around the block and getting back to home base without being seen, you had to really enhance your creativity, your problem solving, and your emotional intelligence was pretty much through the roof. And the whole time we were just playing. And the impact of this on our social and our communication skills and our social development was amazing, really. I mean, it supported the brain development, but it was really the social development and that sense of being able to back yourself to be able to achieve this challenge. And we would play this game until it got dark, until we had to go home, of course, and be dark. And it was fun. It was really fun to be able to connect with all of these other kids from the neighborhood. Another example of a good game. So the whole social and emotional development, in my opinion, is absolutely vital. And it's one of the reasons why I'm a huge advocate for play, because through play, children have to learn to take turns. There we go. With the rise of so many only children, sometimes they don't get the opportunity to learn how to take turns, and it's a real skill. They have to learn to negotiate, collaborate, also empathize, that empathy for other people, particularly if someone's fallen over or they're hurt, and they have to care for them, particularly if animals are involved and they want to play with the pets, because pets are hilarious and fun to play with as well. And they also have to manage conflict. And all of these are skills which are essential for you to be able to navigate lifetimes here on Earth. And it certainly helps build emotional resilience and emotional intelligence, and to also consider the perspectives of others, because not everybody has the same perspective that you do. We would sometimes play backyard cricket, which was always fun. And I don't know why. Well, actually, I do know why. I always seem to be the person who, when we were missing the tennis ball in the garden, so and everyone's sort of searching, oh, we've lost the ball, we've got to go and find the ball. They always sent me out because everyone called me Hawkeye. They thought I could find it and that I had amazing eyesight because I could find the ball. But I know now that I was just using my intuition. And I just was always the person who could work out exactly where the ball went, and I could just pick it up and find it. And I was really honing in on those intuitive centers. I didn't realize it at the time. I was just playing pretty much. And cricket and those sorts of games promotes physical development, which, active play is so essential to fine and gross motor skills with your coordination and your balance and just your overall physical health, pretty much. Definitely supports your body's development as we go. I feel like I'm probably rambling, but there's so many different ideas and games that are going through my head. I'm getting really excited because these memories are really fantastic. I might sit with this later. I might go out and sit in the sun and sit with it and let the memories come through and have a bit of a smile and reminisce, which is something that I would encourage you to do as well. Another advantage, I guess you could say, to play is because it enhances language and communication skills. Now, this is something I'm actually quite passionate about because learning to express ourselves is a vital skill to have in life, but it's just expression and experience and living learning through play. I mean, you can't get any better than that. So, whether it's through play or storytelling, or games, children can learn new vocabulary. I mean, look at Shakespeare. He created his own vocabulary. If Shakespeare actually did do the writing that he was told to, I mean, there's all these theories out there that it wasn't even him. So how would I know? But it's amazing that people can just go, you know, we don't have a word for that. Let's just create words. Let's play with words. Let's have a look at the true meaning of words and see what we can come up with. How creative would that be? Instead of just consuming what's being told to you and taught to you, you actually create and have to think and feel for yourself, which could be pretty cool. Sentence structure and forms of expression is always lots of fun. And you also have the non-verbal communication fit into that as well.
And you know, I am thinking about my cousins who used to come on holidays, and we would perform concerts for our family. With our poor family had to sit there for hours while we would, you know, be performing some dance to Thriller, or coming up with some play with different costumes, or sometimes we'd do a fashion parade. And it was always so much fun for us. We thought it was hilarious because we were having a chance to express ourselves and work as a team. And the family got to, you know, sing along and play along and be part of it, which was making such beautiful relationships and connections, because relationships are everything. So those sorts of things are another way that you can play. It doesn't have to be sitting down with a toy that has been bought from a store. You could have a cardboard box, you could have a stick, you could just go and sit in the grass, and a whole imaginary world can pretty much open up. So there doesn't need to be anything presented to children. They innately know what to do. We just have to get out of their way sometimes. I mean, I know that I was really naturally curious, and I was really quite driven to explore. And my brothers and sisters, we had an amazing childhood where we did get to go out and explore a lot, particularly if we're going camping and traipsing around. We were always in nature, just always outside and always in nature. It was fantastic. And we were able to really tap into intrinsic motivation. No one needed to tell us what to do. We just wanted to go out there and create joyful, self-directed learning, I guess, but we didn't see it that way. We were just playing. We didn't need an external reward. We didn't need a, if you go and do this, I will buy you this. Basically, I remember our parents turning up at some strange beach one day, one that we hadn't explored before, and they sat down. We had the fish and chips, and we all sat down and ate, and then they said, "Okay, go and frolic. Off you go." So they sat there and relaxed in the shade, and it was up to us kids to make up our own fun, which of course we did. There were sand dunes and swimming and shells, and you know, we had a fantastic time. We could play all sorts of games, and we would until it was time to be dragged into the car to go home, because we never wanted to. We were too busy playing, living a life, exploring and expressing. It was just, oh, it was magical. And okay, quick thought. Also thought about something else that for intrinsic motivation. We had a neighborhood full of kids who we just loved to play with, and we used to get our bicycles. And I don't know if anyone else has done this. It might sound lame to children today, but for us, we thought it was so cool. We would have little pieces of cardboard that we would cut out, and we would peg them to the wheel of the spokes of our bicycle, so that when we rode our bicycle, it made a whirring sound. And we thought, oh, you know, it sounds like a motorbike, you know, it sounds like a motor. And we would whir up and down the street, and of course, it would fall off, and we'd have to refine our designs. But the design and technology involved with what we were doing and how fancy we could do it was just amazing. And of course, that's learning. It's just all play, but it was learning. But we thought we were so cool. And then, of course, we have to make ramps. How can we fly over this? How can we flip over that? And all of the design and technology to do with that, that part of our life in playing was also really good life lesson, because the ramps never worked the first time. We always had to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off, and very rarely would we go in and say, "Oh, you know, you need to look after me. I've skinned my knee." No, we'd just dust ourselves off and go, you know, we're, you know, pretty tough. And you only came home if something was literally broken or there was blood. No blood, go back out there, you know, suck it up, people. Off you go. But the design failure was actually part of the biggest part of learning, because we really did learn to do, we learned a lot. And then you can think about that's the math and the science, if you're tying that into education, if you're even thinking along those lines. So that whole connection to real life and bridging the gap between the abstract concepts and real world experiences can easily be done through play. And it can be something as simple as sitting down and making a mud pie, or cleaning out an old shed to create a cubby house, and having a neighborhood clubhouse, and the young'uns would get in there and they would mirror real life. They would probably be emulating and copying what they would see their parents doing, and practicing pretending to run a shop or, all the sorts of social responsibility and communication and math can lead into all of these different experiences that you could have through play. Certainly supports well-being, have to say that. And we would play things like elastics, where you would have two people standing on it with an elastic that's a circle, really long circle, stretched out between their legs, and then the person in the middle would jump in between the elastics, and we would be singing a chant or singing a song or doing a rhyme, and we would do that for hours, jump, 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 which we know is so good for the system and the lymphatic system, playing double dutch and skipping. Oh gosh, how many years did we skip for? And even I remember before we started school, I was always doing handstands and cartwheels. I think I spent half my life upside down, really. Just every time you turn around, I was doing a handstand, I was doing a cartwheel. But our upper body strength, or jumping on a trampoline, was amazing. That exercise and that well-being and that joy through that play was really good for our physical bodies as well. All of these games that I've mentioned are great for memory and focus and engagement. They really are key ingredients for deep learning. And I have absolutely no doubt that all of these amazing experiences and being allowed to play in so many different creative ways has shaped me into who I am today. They say take a child for the first 7 years and I will show you the man or woman that they will become. Because of all of the skills that you're learning, you cannot play, you can't overplay. I can't emphasize enough how important it really is. And play is not just for children. I really would like to make that point. If you have not played in your own life in the last week, if you're just doing the rat race, you're getting up, eating breakfast, getting the kids off to school, going to work, coming home, chores around the house, or doing whatever it is you need, cooking dinner, watching TV, going to bed, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. That is not life. That is not life. That's existing, that's surviving, but it is not life. So, how are we, how are you, how are we all engaging and embedding play in anything that we do? I mean, you can play washing up, you can sing a song, you can do a chant. There's so many different joyful things you can do to enhance the way that we are doing things each day. So that's my challenge to you, is to just take some time and stop and reflect on how much play is in your life, your children, your grandchildren, people in the neighborhood, anybody around you, including your pets. Your pets getting to go out to walk and play? Are they part of that experience at the same time? Pets and animals are really beautiful, and it doesn't have to be a pet that you have in your house. It could be the wild birds in the backyard and just sitting back and watching them play. It's bringing that sense of joy and that connection and that relationship to self and that connection and that relationship to nature and other beautiful living beings. It's really special. And so that's my challenge to you, is to consider, what have you done this week and how are you playing? Really important question. And I know I'm going to be thinking about this and feeling into this for the next few days. It's sort of reverberating. I can feel it actually move through my body right now. So I know that something that I have just said in the last 20 minutes is really resonating with me. So it's something that I probably need to explore. I did say that not just children can play, adults can play. I want to share an example of something that I want to do shortly. It's a secret, so don't tell anybody. Just like my brother did years ago when he created the pirate treasure experience, for all of the children in my family, I want to create this same experience for my daughter for her birthday. She's got a very special birthday number coming up, and she'll be an adult. She'll be classed as an adult. And for her party with her friends, she wants to head to the beach. So I'm going to be designing for her a treasure hunt around the town, because the children all have licenses now. Well, they're not, I shouldn't even say children. The young adults, the young men and women, the young men and women all have licenses now. They can drive, they can travel in their cars. And so I'm going to set up puzzles that they need to solve and tasks that they need to complete to create a really great memory, so that they don't just get in their car and travel to the beach to go and have their picnic and their barbecue and enjoy themselves. They'll have to actually follow the different clues, which will take them on a bit of adventure all around the different place with landmarks, and then it'll end up obviously at the barbecue and the picnic for a little bit of fun. And it might be, that they have to go into a certain shop and give out a secret password or sing a certain song, and then the person behind the shop will give them the next envelope. So I will try and think of all different playful things that they can do in order to be able to meet the challenge. And I know that they'll probably work in teams. There's such a great bunch of young people. They have so much fun and they're just always, always laughing. And I know that they're really going to enjoy this. So for me, even I'm sitting here smiling, grinning like a lunatic, actually, because I can picture, I haven't even created it yet. It's just an idea and concept. But me creating this, I know I'm going to giggle and laugh and have fun because I get to be creative and feel into all the different things I can do. So I'm enjoying it. The dopamine hit's coming for me. I know they are going to enjoy it. And then when they share their story and their adventures and their memories with other friends, even years in advance, I'll be going, "Oh, remember when we did this? This is what play is all about. This. Creating experiences is where adults, educators, parents and grandparents can step in and help the playing process. You can do it for adults as well, but it doesn't have to be for children. So I just felt called to share that. Don't tell her because she doesn't know yet. It's going to be a complete surprise. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be so fun. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this all up with a big fat bow now, because I know I'm on the homeward stretch and I'm looking at the time, and I could continue to stay in this time and space for a long time. I did want to make the point that there is a theory that we learn faster through play. And so years ago, there was a famous quote that came out, and it said that, hang on, I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. It said 400 repetitions. Okay, so hang on. It says there's headlines floating around about learning something takes up to 400 repetitions, but only 10 to 20 repetitions to be learnt through play. Now, I'm not sure if that quote's actually accurate. So the original quote is actually a bit controversial, and this quote came from a Dr. Karen Purvis. And what did Dr. Purvis was really saying, because I actually went and dug out the original quote for this, was now we know from research that it takes 400 repetitions of an act or learning of a skill 400 times to get one new synapse. Or 12 repetitions when you have joy and laughter, you get the same synapse because there's a release of a chemical dopamine. So through play, you go learning, formal learning, 400 repetitions, play, 12 repetitions. You just cannot compare that when you have joy and laughter in the learning, it sticks. You remember more because it's more stimulating and more interesting. So playfulness is definitely the ability to reframe a situation to be entertaining and stimulating, and it doesn't have to be sitting down and structured when it comes to a learning environment. And that is all I have time for, unfortunately. to share with you today, but we will be back again next week. So thanks for joining me, everybody, on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and play. Go out and play into the world. I can't wait to hear what you decide to do and what you rediscover or discover for the first time. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.
Ha ha ha.